Hello, everyone. Welcome to Supernatural Junkies. I'm Super Alex.
I'm Dr. Kevin, and I am natural today.
I guess that means that I will be the junkie.
He is definitely got a lot of junk.
Wait a minute. I think there might be somebody else here.
Yeah, don't leave me off.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who is that?
This is Dr. Dosha, and I'm lifting it up spiritually.
That's right.
He's pumping you up spiritually.
Yeah, pump you up.
We are here.
And we are...
The Supernatural Junkies!
Wondered how you could get your hands on some awesome Supernatural Junkies gear? Well, the answer to that is it's now available on redbubble.com. We have a shop on there for Supernatural Junkies, and there's t-shirts, leggings, sweatshirts, hoodies, even a shower curtain.
So if you've always wanted to have a shower curtain with Dr. Kevin on it, you can just get one with just Dr. Kevin. We have our logo on there on everything. And we also have all of us as singles. You can get magnets, stickers, you name it. It's all available on our Redbubble shop. I will be posting a link to that in our show notes for the last few episodes and from this point forward. If you have any questions about anything, you want to contact us, you can do so at supernaturaljunkies@gmail.com. Thanks, guys. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Supernatural Junkies. And I just want to preface this episode by saying that it's going to be a little different format than you're used to hearing from us. And that's because it's from the Save Our Children conference that we recently put on. And this is specifically from the Pastor's Breakfast panel. And the moderator is Pastor Lucas Miles. And it has some really great information that we don't want you guys to miss out on. And we'll be doing this format, releasing the panels, the different panels from this conference, something, like I said, that we've been working on, and really great information that you don't want to miss out on. There's awesome pastors and there's awesome doctors and just people in the know. So please have a listen and thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys. Have a blessed week.
Hello, this is Dr. Kevin Cruz. And on behalf of the Truth, Faith, and Action Alliance, I'd like to welcome you to the Save Our Children Pastor's Breakfast. Our alliance includes Somebody Cares Tampa Bay, All Pro Pastors International, Protect Our Children Project, Citizens Defending Freedom, United Pastors of America, Florida Faith Foundations, Make America Free Again, and Soil Ministries. Unfortunately, many are not aware that our children need saving, yet 40% of U.S. Gen Zs and 30% of young professing Christians already identify as LGBTQ. Indeed, there is a new false religion that believes people are born into the wrong bodies. But if God's word is true, how can that be the case? This is only one of the many reasons why our alliance and speakers are sounding the alarm. We have realized that if we didn't take the time to work together, we would lose our children. So please stay tuned to the very end so we can share how you can get involved.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. How we doing? It's good to see everybody here. I love Tampa and I love Florida and I love being in this region with you guys. I come down here frequently. I want to just see a show of hands. How many pastors do we have in the room today? Okay, awesome. Awesome. How many pastor wives do we have in the room today? Let's hear it for those ladies. I'm honored to be here today. If you don't know who I am, my name's Pastor Lucas Miles. I pastor a church outside of South Bend, Indiana, where I first battled the tyrannical regime of Mayor Pete Buttigieg. And I wrote a book called Woke Jesus and the Christian Left, host a show on Epic TV called Church and State with Lucas Miles. But I'll tell you what I'm most honored about today is being able to share a panel with some of these amazing men and women that we're going to have up here for you guys today. And this team and this alliance has really done a tremendous job of bringing some amazing, amazing voices together. And so with no further ado, I'd like to begin to kind of welcome these. I'll welcome each of our speakers individually and bring them up here. He's an award-winning and board-certified Christian OBGYN for over 45 years. He's seen over 6,000 to 7,000 high-risk patients a year. He's been published extensively. You've seen him on Tucker Carlson, Epic Times, about every other program you could think of. And I had the honor of riding with him in the car for about 45 minutes today and having a great conversation. Dr. James Thorpe is here. Come on up. This next guest is one of America's most interviewed and thought-provoking board-certified child psychologists. It's Dr. Mark McDonald. Met him actually this morning. I'm excited about hearing more what he has to say. And he is doing an amazing job really showing just this push to indoctrinate our children in public schools and universities. Let's welcome Dr. Mark McDonald. This next friend of mine, thank you, brother. Psychiatrist, thank you. This next friend of mine is the founder of Every Black Life Matters and the author of Woked Up and Freed to Be Servant and Slave. Let's give it up for Reverend Kevin McGarry. All right. He identified as a transgender woman for over 8 years, and he now has a passion to help others who regret gender change. He has been a warrior on this topic. He's the founder of Sex Change Regret. He's faculty at my organization, the Influence Network, and he's a fellow at Family Research Council. Let's welcome Walt Heyer. Our next panelist has been confronting child trafficking internationally for some time before refocusing his efforts here domestically to protect our children. Let's give it up for Nate Lewis. You know this guy well. He's an international superstar. You might know him as Hercules. You might know him from God's Not Dead or one of his many other movies. My friend, Kevin Sorbo. And I'll tell you, behind every man is a woman, and that woman is Sam Sorbo, incredible speaker, author, actress, producer, and she is a champion advocate for children in this nation. All right. He's a senior pastor of Godspeak Calvary Chapel of Thousand Oaks. He's done that for, I believe, over 17 years now. And this guy is also the co-founder of Turning Point Faith alongside Charlie Kirk. Let's welcome Pastor Rob McCoy. And last but not least, we have with us the most well-known rabbi in the world. His books have made him a household name, and specifically his prophetic warnings about America's departure from God and the foundations of our country have made him one of the top 40 spiritual leaders of the last 40 years. Let's welcome Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. All right. I'm going to get situated. Is he coming? Okay. I'm going to hang out of the way down here. But I'm excited for this conversation. A couple things about this before we get started. We have here some incredible panelists from, as you can imagine, from very diverse backgrounds. And there is a wealth of expertise on a variety of subjects on this panel. And so I'm going to do my best to kind of what I would say, mine the rich deposits. I want to try to draw out from each of these individuals, really their ideas, their best thoughts, their best advice, their best insight on specifically what is happening here today. How many know we have some concerning things happening in this nation? Look, it doesn't take long turning on the news, turning on, you know, open up your phone, looking at social media to see that there is a lot of problems in this nation. There is, without a doubt, an attack on our children. There's a Marxist invasion. There's the hijacking of our churches and our school systems, our medical system, and we need to know what we can do about it. And I know some of you guys are here and you're already champions for one of these causes or maybe all of these causes. Others of you might be here because you got drugged by some fanatic that you're sitting next to. And so I would just encourage you to open your mind, your ears, to really hear what our panelists have to say today. And let's see if we could draw out the best from them and really, you know, as we dive into these topics. And so the other thing I'll say to the panelists is I might cut you off. And because that's the kind of guy I am. And if you go long, we're going to give you the hook and we're going to say, hey, thanks. We're going to stop you there. We're going to keep going. It doesn't mean your answer is not incredible and that we couldn't sit here and listen to each one of you all day. But I've got the hard task of wrangling all you cats up here and trying to make this happen. So I'm going to try to make my life easier and keep us on time here today so that Dr. Kevin doesn't get mad at me. So let's start off here and let's talk about this a little bit because each of you came here, and I want to maybe hear from a couple of you. Obviously, this conference is covering just a wide array of topics. What was it that really brought you here, and why do you believe this morning that talking to pastors is so important? You can, wherever, yep.
10 seconds or two.
Let's, maybe in the middle.
So I'm here because I want to save our children.
But I'm here
for the unrecognized children that have largely been ignored throughout the 45 years of my practice. Those are preborn children, the most important, most vulnerable, pregnant women, preborn, and newborn. Children start in the womb. So I stand here with you, among you, as pastors and leaders in your community, to understand that life begins in the womb. And if we want to affect children, it's not an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure with the old adage. It's 2,000 tons worth of prevention is worth that cure. So the war on children has started in the womb long ago, and we've killed more than 70 million of them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Who else?
I'll be speaking later today about the attempt to capture children in the United States by a movement that is sweeping from one coast to the other, which is the transgender movement. And I'm speaking to pastors because, unfortunately, many are not confident of their place to speak on what they consider to be a political issue. I must be clear from the perspective of a physician who practices ethically that this is not a political battle. The transgender movement is not political, it is religious, but it is a secular religious movement. Who better to speak about a religious movement than a church and the pastors who mentor it?
It's good. It's good. Yeah. Awesome. Excellent.
I think this time that we have together is vital. The condition of America is the report card of the church. And for too long, we've had pastors that have been absent in culture. And therefore, culture has taken its deep dive, and we have what we have right now. The reality is that you guys remember the story when Jesus was asking Peter, "Do you love me?" He said, "Do you love me?" He said, "Feed my lambs." "Then you love me, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep." Twice. The lambs are the first exhortation and admonition that he gave Peter. A lot of pastors think that the children, and I'll talk more about this in my segment later today, but this is fundamental. If we want to grow strong churches and strong communities, we must take care of the lambs. Yeah, we have to take care of the sheep too. But it starts with he said, look, feed my lambs, take care of them, protect them, provide structure for them. This is not something that we can ignore as pastors or ministers. And so it's important that we're all here so we can be on one accord. We can change America, the trajectory of America, but we have to start with some of the essentials, some of the basics as well. And this is a basic, fundamental, vital admonition from Jesus himself. And we must take it seriously. God bless you.
Well, this is about children, and I'm here as a personal testimony to what happens to a four-year-old boy when your grandmother cross-dresses you and affirms you, and what it leads to, which it led to physical and sexual abuse as a result of her cross-dressing me at 4 years old. And it destroyed my life for 50 years until I came face-to-face with the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem my life.
I came here because I unfortunately or fortunately work in the face of evil, so you guys don't have to, but I hope I can shed some light on the reality and the truths of the predators that live amongst your communities that are preying on the innocence of our children. So my hope is that I can enlighten you and educate you this weekend, and I'm here as a resource to you to talk about the realities and the truth of not only online sex exploitation and human trafficking, but just the massive amount of sexual assault that's happening inside of our borders here in the United States.
I'm going to say that pastors need to remember they work for God, not for government. And because I see the insanity going on out there right now, and I see the insanity of what some churches are doing, and the woke world is very much awake, and we got to fight back. In my world, I do a lot of pro-life speaking. I'm totally with you, doctor, on that. And where it starts, the most important, the vulnerable children. But in my world, what Hollywood's doing with the indoctrination, through the movies and television. Walt Disney said back in the 1950s, movies and television will influence our youth. I think Walt hit it right on the nail, and he's flipping his grave what Disney has done to his name. The trouble is, even though they lost well over $1 billion last year, I think our taxpayers, unbeknownst to us, were probably still funding what's going on in Hollywood. And so we got to fight. And I do movies that hopefully do what will bring back love and hope and faith and redemption and love. So I'll talk more about it this morning then.
I forgot what I was going to say. That never happens. said Sam, never. We ceded the ground when we relinquished the schools. Education should not need a modifier, such as Christian. It's either truth or it's not. Today, it's not truth. And I wanted to talk to pastors to empower you to tell your congregants they have no need for the schools. Schools are not in the business of education. They simply claim that they are. And we believe them because we went to school. But we don't need the schools. And in fact, I think you read the Bible, right? Where in the Bible does it say that children belong in school? Where does God admonish the parents to put the children in school? Nowhere. So we ceded the ground to the secularists, and then we ceded our children to them, and we have to stop doing that because it's child abuse. God gave children the gift of curiosity. That is the driver for all education. School gets in the way of that. So that's my message, and I will expound on it later. But I train parents. I train the parents. They say, give us a curriculum. I'm like, I will give you the curriculum so that you are empowered to teach your children, to raise them up in the way they should go, to teach them his words as you walk by the by, as you lie down to sleep.
I feel like the mule that the farmer put in the Kentucky Derby. They said he's not going to win, but he's in mighty fine company. So they're all in the book of who's who. I'm in the book of who's he. So I'm a pastor, though. And as a pastor, also the previous mayor of the city of Thousand Oaks, I'm also a politician. And I think as pastors, we have a misunderstanding. All of you are peacemakers, and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. But the misunderstanding is we think that peace is the absence of conflict. It's not. It's the presence of Christ in the midst of the conflict. And to cause one of these little ones to stumble, it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast in the deepest ocean. And James says, he who knows the good to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And as pastors, we're more strictly judged. And this nation desperately needs the voice of liberty. And 2 Corinthians says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We're the beacons of liberty, and we must proclaim it and stand in defense of these children. God bless you for being here. We're going to get this done.
I'm here because this is so much the crucial issue. Because whoever has the children has the future. And the enemy knows how important the children are. So we have to know how important the children are. The Lord said, let them come to me. And as Rob said, the one who causes them to stumble, this is the worst sin. And we have a culture that is focused on causing them to stumble. They are focused on the children. If we are not, then we've left it up. We've given it. And if you are the pastors, you are the shepherds, and you are the voices, and you are the leaders. And if we lose the children, then we lose the future. If we save the children, we save the future.
So that's a perfect segue. And what Rabbi Kahn shared, and really all of you, you know, this idea of causing these little ones to stumble. Before we get into some of the ideological, you know, agendas and motivations that are pushing a lot of this, I'd like to talk about something that I think is creating a susceptibility for the younger generations, for the millennial generation, for Gen Z, for Generation Alpha, to begin to embrace some of these things or to be fall prey to some of this to begin with. And so I'd like to call on three of you specifically here to talk about kind of the trauma that you're seeing specifically in the home or in the younger generation that is causing them to maybe look towards something like Marxist ideology and find refuge there, or to look towards some of these other sort of, you know, really nefarious ideas and begin to play with some of these things. And so specifically, Dr. Mark, I'd love to have you start on that. I'm going to put you on the spot here. If we can get a mic down to you. idea. And maybe talk about what you're seeing in kind of this new generation that's coming up, that's susceptibility to some of these things.
We have become a side nation. The American man has become a eunuch. He has no... The children I see in my practice have no male role models. There is no expression of courage. There is no expression of masculinity. It is under attack in our society, in our schools, in our media, by our government, by our medical system. And the adults, the men, have run for the hills in fear of being called patriarchal, in fear of being called misogynistic, in fear of being called toxic. Being a man today in America is toxic. That's what they are told. If we do not see a return and encourage a return of the man, of the male, in the household, in the family, the children will continue to feel confused about their own roles and their own identities, and they will fall prey to society, to schools, to medicine, to media, and to the apps on their phones that tell them that their confusion, their anxiety, and their depression is due to their being the other sex. And then we will have lost them. We need to bring back traditional male and female role models, and we need to do it in the home now.
Good. Awesome. Let's go ahead and pass down to Nate here. Nate, one of the things we were talking about in the car that you said that, you know, I hadn't thought of it before like this. You know, obviously you've spent a lot of work in kind of the anti-trafficking, you know, space. And we think, you know, trafficking is a major conversation. But one thing you said in the car is that abuse actually is eclipsing trafficking. You know what? Can you talk about what's happening in the homes that's really maybe setting the stage for some of this?
Oh man, what's happening in the homes? I try to keep this short. But so to touch on the first thing you said, so there's 42 million people living in the United States right now who are victims and survivors of sexual assault. That's 1 in 8 people. So there's several here today who have been a victim of sexual assault. Man, where does this start? That's not my expertise. Somebody else may be able to talk about that. But you're talking about a society where access to pornography is extremely available to at any age. You know, when I was a kid, it was like, what's the back room at Blockbuster, Dad? You know, and now it's on social media. You know, you have young men, young boys on a platform, and there's females out there dancing half naked in front of them. That's causing things happening inside of themselves. When, you know, I remember being a child, we didn't even like Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue was like the most like shocking thing that you could come across. You know, now it's like, it's insane what's going on in the United States, and to have this access at the tip of children's fingers is, to me, astonishing that we're not doing anything about it. There's no regulations. There's nothing. Actually, and I'll talk about this later, these apps and these social media platforms, I know there's people who love social media. I'm not a fan because I know what they're doing. They're enabling it, and we have evidence of it. We do online investigations, and we use their platforms, and they actually request, in 4 days, we'll have, with a fake 14-year-old, we'll have 450 predators already on our list that we've accepted and become friends with, and they keep sending us more. It's insanity. Yes, they're enabling it. They are. It wouldn't even happen. I'm telling you right now, and I'm going to shut up, but because I talk about this all day. If your child is on one of these social media platforms, there's no doubt, there's zero doubt, even if they have a private account, if they're even somewhat putting themselves out there, they will be approached by a predator very quickly, guaranteed. There's no doubt. And they're doing nothing about it. And they can. That's the problem, but they aren't. And so I don't even know if I answered your question.
Oh, it's good.
But
it's good. Let's hand over next to you here to Walt. Walt, we've talked a lot about this idea of the impact of trauma. Also, this thing that, you know, I really kind of first heard this term from you, this idea of a social contagion. Can we maybe talk about a little bit of how that is influencing a culture right now?
Yeah. What I found after we started our website, sexchangeregret.com, about 13 years ago, what we found is three major things. There are others, but three major things. A social contagion. They're doing this identity because other people are doing it, and it's being pushed in our school systems. That is a huge one. Also, the internet that you talked about, they're getting indoctrinated on the internet with pornography. And then you talked about in the home, what we have found, there's a thing called adverse childhood experiences. People know about that. They're called ACEs. And what I have found, that about 70% of the thousands of people that we've worked with at sexchangeregret.com have been sexually abused. And so there's a variety of abuses, a sexual, emotional, and psychological. And what I know for sure is that when you're cross-dressing a boy like I was, you're committing child abuse. It is child abuse. This is not transgenderism. It's child abuse. We're destroying an entire generation of children, and it must stop. And we have to educate everybody on this and get them to stop thinking that it's benign. And I can tell you on a personal level, the pain that I suffered as a result of my grandmother cross-dressing me, night after night, I would cry myself to sleep because I couldn't figure out why she was doing that and what was going on. And then when my uncle sexually molested me because she made the dress for me, if it hadn't have been for the dress, I wouldn't have been sexually molested. That destroyed my life. So we need to understand this is child abuse.
So obviously driving a lot of this, we have this movement towards critical theory. We have, you know, the sort of evolution of that into full-blown wokeism. Liberation theology has certainly played a role in that as well. And I've kind of been describing that wokeism is really coming to seed and showing its true colors as this neo-paganism in our society. And so we've got some experts here on ideology. I'd like to kind of go through. I'm going to have quite a few of you, you know, share on this. But Dr. James, love to have you maybe start here. I know that, you know, this impact of Marxist ideology is something that you're seeing in even the medical, you know, field as well. Can you talk maybe a little bit about that impact and how that's playing out in the sphere that you're in?
It's horrible. Beginning in 2020, we essentially... This was a planned event. It's been planned since 2010, and I can prove that. So we have slowly had every physician and healthcare worker captured, and then it went on steroids in 2020. You know, I'll go into that later this afternoon, but we lost all of our ability to provide an oath to God, a Hippocratic oath, and for me, as a former military veteran, an oath to the Constitution, to uphold the physician-patient relationship. That was all done away with. And I stood up, and I shouted, and I was destroyed professionally. Destroyed. And so we lost the ability. We were accused of being misinformers and hurting people when they were actually doing the opposite. And please stay for the afternoon lecture because I'll delve more into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Reverend Kevin, look, man, you've been tackling these subjects in depth. Your writing is fabulous. I don't even know where to start because I could take you, we could go Darwin, we could go Marx, we could go, you know, so many places. You know, what's driving this obsession with woke ideology and how we're seeing that played out in DEI and SEL and, you know, all the things?
The quick answer, and not to be coy, but it's just straight demonism. We're in a spiritual war. Okay. So the reality is a lot of people don't understand sort of the real underpinnings of this. It started with Darwin, a lot of it, and then his protege, Marx. I'll go into the exact details about that relationship and how it manifests today, this afternoon. But so a lot of people didn't understand that Marx's number one goal, he says, look, I don't care anything about my economic philosophy. My number one goal is I'm at war with God. He says, I my number one goal is to dethrone God wherever he is, in the heart of men, in synagogues or in churches, wherever God is, this whole notion of God that people have, I want to dethrone him. This is his number one goal. So that means that anybody, especially in the body of Christ, that has the audacity to imbibe Marxism at any way, social justice or you know, black liberation theology generally, you are actually imbibing the doctrine of demons. And because Marx hated the notion of God, the word of God, Psalms 14 says, only a fool says there is no God. So not only are we imbibing the doctrine of demons, but we're demonic fools. This is the theology that is being taught in a lot of pulpits today. And I don't say that disparagingly. That's just that's what God called it. Fools, right? So, and he was a demoniac. So the problem is that is infused throughout, not only in our churches, but our communities and in our school systems by way of DEI, CRT, and all of this other thing. So I agree with Sam wholeheartedly when we send our children to these schools and they're thoroughly indoctrinated, this is child abuse. We're literally teaching them how to hate. Critical race theory, the biggest problem with that, it had all kinds of problems. The biggest problem is children are taught, literally taught and tutored, how to hate another person. Now, I don't know about most people here, but this hate is something that I'm not that makeup, so I don't know what that really feels like, but I know how to dislike somebody. And generally, it's when you're an adult or, you know, through experiences in life, it's much, much, much later. They're teaching children at 5 how to hate that person because of skin color. This is child abuse. And so we have issues that we have to sort out, and we have to be real clear on what it is. It's Marxism through and through. It's that level of demonism, and we've got to completely get rid of it, rid society of it.
Awesome. Let's pass down to Kevin here. Kevin, obviously, you know, I've known you for some time. I saw you kind of go through that transition of being blacklisted in Hollywood because of your faith and your stand that you and Sam both took. And, you know, why does it seem, or why is it that Hollywood seems to be so obsessed with indoctrinating people with this ideology? Is it money? Is it demon worship? Is it all the above? Like, break this down for us.
Well, I think it's satanic for sure. I mean, let's face it. Hollywood wants to have sex with your children. I mean, that's something that she talks about all the time, and there's so much truth to that. I wish I had the answer. We talk about this all the time. I say, why are they pushing this? Why are they doing this? I mean, I got a friend, he's a doctor, works at a very big hospital. He told me, you know, initially maybe one kid every 3 months would come in. They're having 10 a week come into their hospital now. 10 a week. You can't tell me that's not being driven by our government, our school system, our media, all that stuff. And why Hollywood is pushing this is beyond me. I do not understand it. My agent and manager called me in a dozen years ago and said, we can't work with you anymore because you're a Christian and a conservative, which apparently is the double leper in the world of Hollywood, or kryptonite to them, one of the two. I don't know. So we formed Sorbo Studios to do our own thing. But we talked earlier, I got to go back to the emasculation of men. They've been doing it for decades. And it's through the TV shows and movies and everything else. And my son, which I love, both my boys are men, and my oldest at 22, he goes into the gym to work out. He's a big kid, and he wears shirts like "Embrace Masculinity" or "Patriarchy is the Future," just to have it out there when he's in the gyms. So I'm just going to keep battling. She's got to add to it.
He sells those T-shirts.
Yes. Yes. He does. He does. But I mean, to me, it's the war is there, and it is a religious war, and we're well aware of it. And it's, you look at the Jewish community within Hollywood, which, I mean, every manager and agent and lawyer, entertainment lawyer I've had, they're all Jewish, but very few of them actually are practicing Jews. Very few of them, they're atheistic, they're secular, whatever they may be. And they play the anti-Semite card when it really serves their purpose. But overall, my many years out, decades out in California, the way I saw it played out was I've been told by some that they want to see Israel destroyed, which is amazing to me. And you probably know more about this than I do, because it's crazy what's going on within the walls of Hollywood. DC, they have their own bubble and they live in their own world. And, you know, I don't care the blacklist. I'm going to keep fighting back because I'm not afraid of them.
Awesome. So we'll pass down here to Sam. I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, you know, would love to kind of have you jump in your niche of what's going on in the schools, how we're seeing that push. If you want to touch on anything on Hollywood, you know, you're welcome to do that as well. And I'd like to, you know, how you have really seen, not just in your own family, you were telling me about your sweet daughter and just the incredible things having her, but also in other families that you guys have been working with, that, you know, and encouraging along the way, how you're seeing when parents kind of take ownership of their child's education, really partner with their kids in that, what the difference you're seeing in that space too.
Okay, but first, Hollywood.
Go.
Let's not mince our words. This is a war. They are emasculating our young men so that we won't fight back. They're waging a tremendous war. Who? Well, okay, Satan, obviously. But let's get more specific. I mean, Kevin and I just did an Epic Times or an NTD documentary about Hollywood and about the communist takeover in Hollywood. Who's running all the social media? The government and communist China. TikTok is communist China. Now, our children were homeschooled. I will tell you the best thing that I did for them. The best thing I did was we sat down and read the Bible every morning. That Bible is like, I hate to say it, but it is kind of like magic. Like, I know I'm not supposed to say that, but that Bible will make your son into men, will make your daughters into young, decent, modest women, will make you a better person. There is power in that book. And so my daughter came to me when she was 16 and she said, Mom, I'm going to get off of Instagram, which killed me because that's how I brag about her. She puts her artwork up on Instagram. I'm like, why? She said, they figured out I'm a 16-year-old and they're targeting me. That book empowers your child to have discernment. Do you understand that we all went to school and we were taught not to discern? Do you understand that? You were trained not to discern. Who here knows that every choice is binary? Who here makes pros and cons lists? Pros and cons lists are chaos. They taught you to invite chaos into your life. Every choice is binary. Set your priorities, make the choice. So, homeschooling. When you bring your children home or when you keep them home with you, they learn to love and respect you. You learn to be a better person. God gave you those children to train you. We don't want to believe that, but oh my goodness, it's true. And so when you bring your children home, even if you're a terrible teacher, even if you're a bad parent, you improve. They love you for that. And so it is the preservation of the family, which is the preservation of our culture, which is the preservation of our freedom. But I have to go back to this idea that they are emasculating young boys. Do you understand how emasculating it is to tell a young boy to sit still when he should be out hitting things with sticks? He should be out catching lizards? This is child abuse just in and of itself. That's abusive to a child who should be exploring the world, who should not be made to sit and write before the age of 8, let's say. Little boys are special. They're not just like little girls. We have two genders. They're different. So the movement should be celebrating the two genders and their differences and the fact that we complement each other. And yet they've come and they've convinced us to sit down and shut up. Well, why? We all went to school. We were all trained in sitting down and shutting up. You gotta overcome your training. They taught you how incapable you were. That's what school teaches. It's how incapable you are. That's what school teaches you. And so we've all been abused because we all went to school, some more than others, right? So we have to break that, and then we can better serve our children, which will better serve the nation.
Great insights. Thank you very much.
Rob said amen, so I'm done.
So I want to jump over here to Pastor Rob, and you know, Pastor Rob, you and I are both local church pastors. We share that in common. I want to remember our audience here that we have a large group of pastors here for our breakfast this morning. And, you know, let's speak specifically to the pastor. Not every pastor has the time to read Hegel's Phenomenology of Spirit. They don't have the time to read every, you know, book of Marx. They're trying to kind of understand, wrap their mind, and keep up with all the topics. How do you, as somebody who has a local congregation that you've been shepherding for, you know, almost two decades now, how do you manage sort of the having the pulse and understanding the times with that biblical study side of it so that you can speak to these things from the pulpit?
Well, Scripture and Chronicles speaks of the sons of Issachar, that they were aware of the times. I think that you can't say that I don't have time to study that. I usually look at an aggregate of a trusted news source to get the topics of the day and see how the Scriptures cross-reference that. As pastors, we tend to miss the good because we're striving for the perfect, and we don't understand politics. Politicians are actors performing a script written by the audience. That's Russell Kirk. And I'll give you a perfect example. President Trump comes out and his stance on abortion has changed, and all of Christendom, conservative Christendom, is decrying it along with Carrie Lake. Well, they're pragmatic and they're they're just performing a script written by the audience, because Trump pushes with Supreme Court justices to overrule Roe v. Wade, and no pastors do anything. It's at the state level, and no one's contending for it. And every time a legislature contends for the life issue, they're obliterated because the pulpits are silent. And they're just performing a script that we're not writing. The secular progressive left is writing it. And so to say, I just preach the gospel, I don't do politics, that's a cop-out. Because politics is the highest form of community. It combines morality with sociability. And we have to figure out how to do this.
Yeah, that's good.
And then finally, what gospel are you speaking of that you would suppress the truth because you don't want to offend? When the Black Lives Matter came out, everyone posted a black tile. And then Roe v. Wade is overturned and the pulpits are silent. And don't forget, 6% of America's population is black childbearing females, and they're representative of 40% of the abortions in America. It's a Holocaust in the black community. The birth rate used to be it's 7.2%. Kevin can address this. This is his wheelhouse. But now it's down below 2%. And it's, many have stated that, you know, in 40 years, you'll have to go to the Smithsonian Institute to see a black American because the birth rate is declining so rapidly because of the Holocaust. And the pulpits are silent. We don't have the luxury to remain silent. We are to proclaim truth and set the captives free from the obliteration of entire people groups. This is what we're called to do. And to say, I just preach the gospel, that's a cop-out. I throw the net out every Sunday. I preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You believe in your heart, confess with your tongue, Jesus Lord, you will be saved, the glory of the Father. And we baptized three times as many people in 18 months as the attendance of the church was 18 months ago, because we're political and we're defending their businesses and we're defending their children. Do it, pastors, do it.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
That's good. Actually, before I come back to Rabbi Khan here, I want to jump over here. Dr. James has something he wants to add in just on that real fast, and then we'll jump back down to Rabbi.
I'm Alex, and I'm super.
I'm Dr. Thomas Dozier, and I am also super. Hi, I'm Dr. Dennis, and I am the natural.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin. That makes me the junkie.
Oh, yeah.
And we are...
The Supernatural Junkies.
And we talk about all the things that you can't talk about in the church today.
And I like to talk about strengthening your faith, conspiracies, and how everything on TV is programming you.
I like to talk about how our Bible is relevant, whether you're talking about artificial intelligence, so-called aliens, or secret societies. By the way, I know what Dr. Cruz likes to talk about as well.
Spoiler alert, I like to talk about how current events are prophetic and exactly what our Bibles warned us would happen. Alex, what's your jam?
I like to talk about ghosts, aliens, demon babies, supernatural healing, you name it. Be sure to check out our 100+ episodes on places like Audible, iPodcast, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Just search for the Supernatural Junkies wherever you podcast. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
I can assure you that everything he just said was absolutely accurate. And also, I'm sure that Pastor Kevin can say the same thing. Look at the history of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. She was a racist. She believed that my black brothers and sisters were subhuman. She founded Planned Parenthood to destroy the black race. Look at where they put their Planned Parenthoods, in my brothers and sisters' African-American neighborhoods.
90%. Yep. And I'm going to interject myself here as a panelist, and in addition to being the MC on this, is pastors, I want to say to you as a fellow pastor, I've been pastoring the same church. This is actually my 20th year outside of South Bend, Indiana. In 2015, 2016, I did an 8-week series, and I did the thing that all the pastors are afraid of. I actually preached my church down 50% in an 8-week time period. And we did a series, and the series was, what does the Bible say? And then each week was a different topic. And we looked at national sovereignty and dealt with the issue of open borders. We looked at the issue of gender and sexuality, the issue of marriage, the issue of life, sanctity of life. We looked at free market versus capitalism and looking at scriptural principles on these things. And I lost 50% of my congregation. And with that, I lost 50% of our revenue of our congregation. And I had a choice at that moment. I could go back to capitulating to culture, or I could decide to double down. And honestly, I don't even know if I really had a choice. I mean, I'm a free will guy strongly, but I'll tell you what, God was so pushing me and moving in me that I couldn't stop. And even though I was seeing the challenge, I knew that it was the right direction. And let me fast forward now from 2015, 2016. You know, our church is stronger than it's ever been. Our finances are stronger than they've been. We had a record year financially this last year. We have launched now multiple national ministries out of what we're doing, including Sex Change Regret, the American Pastor Project. We are seeing incredible things happen. We are having people show up to our church because they're going, we heard you're the pastor that will talk about these things. And I just want to say that all the rest of the Christian world thinks that pastors are not speaking about these things because they're afraid. And I just actually believe that's a very small percentage. I believe if you're not speaking about these things from the pulpit, it's either because you have a theological bent that's, you know, gives you a proclivity to not speaking about these things, that you think that politics has no place, you know, in culture. And to you, I would say, who told you these things were political? Who told you that sanctity of life is political? Who told you that national sovereignty is political? Who told you that abortion is a political issue? These are, you know, divine instructed doctrines and ideas first and foremost. There's another group that I believe that they are, you know, they're actually the only ones who are truly afraid of speaking to these things, and they're afraid of what happens to their church and their ministry if they start talking about this. Are they going to lose their people? Are they going to upset their donors and all these things? And please hear it from me. It's worth it. Follow God more than man. I want to jump back over here to, now I'll put back my MC hat on here for a second and jump back over here to Rabbi Khan. You know, let's talk, you know, a little bit. I've had the pleasure of looking at your book, Return of the Gods. And, you know, so much of what we're talking, we've heard this doctrine of demons, and I don't want to take away from your talk because you're going to be sharing with us here in a little bit, you know, more in depth. But I'd love some initial comments on where we're seeing some of this originate from spiritually.
Yeah, I am going to speak about that in a moment. Well, you know, the Bible says we are the light and we are the salt of the earth. And so if it has gotten so dark, there's something wrong also with the light. It has to do with us too. And if it's gotten this rotten, it has to be that we have not been the salt we are supposed to be. So the thing is that all this that we're talking about is the absence of God. We turned away from God as a culture, and now this is what we're dealing with. And that's what the Bible says must happen. I'll get into the specifics that, you know, when we talk about that it's actually very specific. But the Bible warns this, and it happens with any culture, any nation. I mean, look at Russia, you know, when they turned away from a Christian worldview. What happened? A demonic thing happened. Marxism happened. It was demonic. When Germany, center of Reformation, they turned away from God, what happens? Demonic things happen. Destruction happens. And that's exactly where we are right now. And the thing is, what I also think about how the believers were in this time, one of the big warnings is what happened to the church in Germany. You know, my father escaped. I'm only alive because he escaped from Hitler. But the thing is that the church mostly was silent. There were some, you know, there was the remnant, you know, but most were silent because they didn't want to get in trouble. They didn't want to risk their lives. They didn't want to risk their necks. Nobody stuck their neck out. I mean, most of them. And so what happened is evil just triumphs. You know, it said, you know, the only thing that is needed for evil to triumph is when the good do nothing. Or the other one that was said from the Holocaust, from Hitler, from the time of the Third Reich, the pastor who said, you know, when they came for the Jews, I didn't say anything, I wasn't a Jew. When they came for the socialists, I didn't say anything, I wasn't a socialist. Finally, he goes down the list. Finally, they came for me and there was no one left to say anything. You know, so yeah. So the thing is that we are witnessing this transformation. I mean, it's dramatic and we're all in it. But the ultimate issue with all the issues is truly, is God, the absence of God opens up the door for this darkness. And the answer to the darkness is ultimately the presence of God. You know, the answer, when you talk about all these things, it's the absence of the father. It's the absence of the family. It's the weakening of that opens the door for everything else. And ultimately, it is the absence of God. When you take God out, you know, don't be surprised by what has come in.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Excellent. Very good. Okay, so what I want to do is I actually want to take a few minutes and allow each of you to share a little bit about the work you're specifically doing so our audience can get to know us a little bit more before our later sessions. And we got time for probably about 2 to 3 minutes a person. So let's just kind of go down and we can start. You're going to have a session here, so we'll hold for you if you want to do that in yours. And Pastor Rob, we'll start with you there.
So serendipitously, I met a young man named Charlie Kirk. I wasn't on social media. My son said, Dad, you got to listen to this guy. I go, I don't do social media. And then I met him at an event and then we became friends. Long story, but cool. And Charlie had never spoken in a church before. And I said, come and speak in our church. He goes, no, churches don't want me. I said, why is that? He goes, because I'm too political. I go, that's exactly where you're supposed to be. And I consider him to be one of the finest preachers in America. He loves the Lord. And I've never seen him nervous. In over 200 times I've witnessed him speak, except for when he first stepped behind the pulpit at our church. He has a reverence for the things of God. And he made the worst prediction in radio history. He said on the air that when the governor of California, where I pastor, the governor said the church is non-essential. The Bride of Christ is non-essential. He said, no pulpit in California will take that sitting down. They are going to fight back. And it was complete silence from the pulpits of California. Abortion clinics were essential. Cannabis distributors were essential. Strip clubs were essential. And the church put up with it and took it. And Charlie made the worst prediction in radio history. He said, Rob, how do we fix this? And I said, let's start doing pastors' conferences and call them to account. We did our first pastors' conference. We expected 250. We under-promised. We wanted to over-deliver. And 700 pastors showed up. We did the next one in Nashville, 1,200 pastors. We did the next one in San Diego, and we were approaching 2,000. We now have 3,100 partner churches joining. And these are folks much like Martin Niemöller, who you invoked. Martin Niemöller, the quote that Rabbi Kahn had shared, Martin Niemöller was a liberal pastor in Nazi Germany, was so moved by Dietrich Bonhoeffer that he changed his position. And we welcome these woke pastors who realize they're wrong and they're coming in and we're going to educate them and equip them and we're going to take back this country to the glory of God in Jesus' name.
Awesome. Awesome.
Amen. So you've all been trained in school for all of your school career to sit quietly, wait until you get permission to ask a question, don't speak out of turn, and trust the experts. And so we just went through a whole period of trust the experts. And pastors trusted the expert, and the expert was Gavin Newsom in that case. But we have to give a second thought to who we consider an expert, don't we? I mean, isn't that obvious by now that we're trusting the wrong experts and that we really should trust in one expert, and that's the expert on high? And so... So my work is really to empower parents to teach their own children. And so I'll be talking about that later. I'm not sure what else I can. Oh, okay. I also have a new TV show that I encourage you all to watch. It's on patriot.tv. It's weekdays at 4 p.m. I talk about culture through the lens of a conservative Christian. And we have a lot of fun. What? Oh, and it's in conjunction with Mike Flynn. This is my PR agent, my husband, Kevin Sorbo, who reminds me of the things that I'm doing. I developed the Playbook for Home Learning, which is a resource for parents. It's 15 videos to retrain you in how to think about education. We actually don't understand what education is. And that's obvious because what they're doing in schools is they are training children in the lie. So any parent now who sends their child to school, I'm sorry to say this, but you're complicit because you have no idea who that teacher is. You have no idea what that teacher might say to your child. Just a quick story. My daughter, I sent my kids to the public school kindergarten, half day. What could possibly go wrong, right? And this is after I started homeschooling, but the public school kindergarten, and they'll make some friends and that'll be fun, and they color and they have fun. year and a half ago, my daughter said to me, and my daughter is absolutely brilliant, but her mind works completely differently than mine, than yours, basically. She's very unique and she's very artistic. And she came to me about a year and a half ago and she said, Mom, I finally figured out where I learned that I was stupid. It was in kindergarten, that day that they made me go up in front of the class and read the sight words. And the little boy who did it before me, he did it perfectly. And I thought, I'm going to do it perfectly too. And then I didn't. And the class laughed. And that's where I learned I was stupid. And so for 10 years, every time I said to her, oh my goodness, that is a brilliant thought, she thought I was lying to her. So I'm still wrestling with that. So if you love your children, you do not send them away from you. You protect them at all lengths. And then we have to tell our sons that they are the protectors. We have failed to give our children the great goal, the sons particularly, that Christ said, for no man has greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. When sons are met with that challenge, pick up the heaviest rock you can find. Lift the heaviest burden you can. Young men will rise to that challenge and they will surpass your wildest expectations. But we have failed them because we tell them, sit down and shut up and listen to the teacher and trust the expert. So the Playbook for Home Learning is the resource for parents to empower them to train their children themselves. And then I have plenty of other resources and I'll be speaking later. Did I do good?
Yeah. So really the place to go for everything, Sam and Kevin, is sorbostudios.com. So go to sorbostudios.com. There's a lot of information on there. You didn't mention that, but I mentioned it for you. I'm still doing what Hollywood kicked me out for. I've got 4 movies in post-production. I've got 3 documentaries coming out later this year. One's a follow-up. I had an amazing documentary that came out 2 years ago called Before the Wrath, dealing with the Second Coming. If you haven't seen it, I hope you get a chance to see it. I did a wonderful documentary, John Lennox. If you don't know John Lennox, you should. We spent 3 weeks in Oxford, England, 2 weeks in Israel. He's debated Dawkins, Singer, Hitchens, all the great atheists of the world. And he kills them with love and humor. And he sounds like Winnie the Pooh when he talks. And he's just a great guy. It's called Against the Tide, Proving God in the World of Science. I call it Apologetics for Dummies Like Me. It's a wonderful, wonderful documentary. And I got more coming down the pipeline. So everything I'm doing is really to endear myself to Hollywood as much as possible. So I'll talk about more of that later. So God bless you all. We'll see you in the other place soon.
I run a nonprofit. We hunt predators, but more importantly, we know to scale that. We're really teaching law enforcement how to fish, giving the equipment to fish and letting them go fish. So essentially we are the trainers. We go in, we provide training, hands-on live training, and we give them the tools and the equipment they do to do online investigations. So a lot of the undercover work, so to speak, is actually not undercover like it used to be, where your face and your identity is right there face to face. The society that we live in, even within our own families, most of our communication is through your phone. It's the same way with predators. Predators feel very safe behind the walls of their, mostly from their phone or their app. And so we're helping and equipping law enforcement from the people. So we're the bridge between the people and the police. So we provide the grants to your local communities to give them the training and the resources to be effective hunting predators and then meeting them wherever they are. Some of them don't even know where to start. Some of them are already doing some of this work and they need to get more into the organized crime part of it. So where they're actually focusing on the traffickers and the trafficking rather than just predators. So you need both. So that's mostly what we do. I do want to echo a little bit of what's being said tonight. I think it's really important. When you think about young girls mostly and how they fall victims to this type of thing, it's a lot of times the men are lacking in their life. And we talk about men being men. And it doesn't matter if you're married or divorced, you still need to be a positive male role model in your daughter's life as well as your son's life too, because they will search and they will find a replacement. And you better pray very hard they find the 1 in 10,000 that actually is a young man, because they're going to find somebody and that's how it starts. And they start getting groomed by a man that's not a man or a boy or a really old man, and they are telling them the things they've never heard, and now they're falling victim to the lack of a male presence in their life as well. So that's one little piece that I would just say, like, to the men out there, it's very important. You have a serious role for your daughters as well as your sons too. So keep that in mind. There'll be a lot more later. I'll be talking about some of the things you can do to protect your children online and stuff like that. But that's essentially what we do. We're here to, we're professional mission-driven servants. We serve the communities through serving the police. And part of what I hope we can do is change. Just, this is what I've seen. I'm just telling you what I know. This is just facts, so don't take this the wrong way. But what we've seen in law enforcement is an incredible early retirement and a massive drop in recruits coming in. So we're seeing the lack of manpower, but we're also seeing a lack of resources, and they aren't getting any more. So it's going to take us to actually fund our police to protect our children in the United States right now. And that's why we exist, really. And we need your help, because you're the ones who are going to do it, because our government's not doing it right now. There was one other thing I wanted to say. I just lost it, about just the environment of law enforcement. I'll talk a little bit about even with the mental health. And mental health is on the horizon of every shape and form in the United States. And so many people lose track of the mental health. When you're dealing with crime, and I'm going to shut up in a second, but when you're dealing with crime, you deal with trauma on different levels. And you could ask any officer who's dealt with child sex crimes, it is the most horrific crime that is committed. We're seeing and hearing stories that you don't ever want to hear, trust me. And it's very difficult. And the turnover is about 2 or 3 years at best. And it affects families, their own families. So pray for them, the law enforcement that are doing this stuff, because they're doing some hard work. I'm telling you, it's very difficult work to do. And my hope is that we can change. This is what I want to tell you. What I know and what I see, there are law enforcement out there who are protecting our children. And I hope people understand that. They're not these bad people, not all of them. There's bad people in every profession you look at, but they are some amazing men and women out there protecting the innocence of children.
Awesome. Thank you. Walt.
Yeah, after the Lord redeemed and restored my life in 1990, in 2006, I wrote my first book, and it was an excruciating, painful book to write. My wife and I, I was doing it on yellow line paper. And instead of collaborating, we called it collaborating, because it was really a difficult book for me to get through, because I'm telling about all the things that happened. And it's really difficult to talk about being abused and what happened. But we got through the book, and I was trying to raise awareness to other people about what's happening in the homes and what's happening to people. And nobody should have their body mutilated by a surgeon. You shouldn't take hormones, all these things that I started in 2006. And I continued to write books. We started the website, Sex Change Regret, 13 years ago. Thanks to Lucas, we now are working together to expand it and make it much bigger and get more people involved. And we've already helped thousands of people. And so I've continued to write books. I started in 2015 publishing articles. I was writing about the harms of hormones and publishing articles in January of 2015. And I've written in USA Today. They took an article from me that was one of the 7th most read articles for the entire year that article was published. So there's people out there thirsting for this information. So I've been a part of 21 documentary films on the subject. And I finally was approached by a screenwriter who said, "Well, we need to put your story on the screen." And he said, "I want you to co-write it with me." And we did. And we just finished it this month on the 1st. And so I've been continuing to try to raise awareness. And now I'm in, you know, this new phase of legacy. And so I was approached by FRC to do a book for FRC for my legacy. I was approached by Lucas Miles for my legacy. And so I think the movie is my legacy as well. So I'm doing as much as I can that I know how to do, that the Lord's equipped me with, to raise awareness and bring this to a halt.
One thing, since I'm, you know, Kevin Sam's publicist, I'm Walt's publicist here, but one thing else that we're working on is putting billboards around the country that say Sex Change Regret on them. And I've got a really just powerful image there, and it's going to be awesome.
Before I get started, I just want to acknowledge and honor both Lucas and Rob McCoy. These are my brothers. I know them well and have, these are, you know, gentlemen who know how to do ministry. I get asked frequently wherever I go, and I talk about culture and politics and how church and faith play into all of that. Well, Kev, if I do that, man, you know, what about, you know, my tithers and people, they'll get, you know, uncomfortable and this and that. And I say, well, did the Lord give you this ministry? Yeah, bro. Yeah, I'm called to ministry. Yeah, the Lord gave me. I said, well, what did Jesus say? Then they look at me and they look funny. I said, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll do the drawing. So just do what Jesus told you to do. These brothers represent that. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that real quick for all of us, because some of us may be in that consternation. You know, well, I don't know if I could go as far as these brothers went. No, let's lift up Jesus. He'll do the drawing. Let's not be afraid. This is not a time to cower. Everything is in the balance at the moment. This is not a time for the church to cower. This is a time for the church to grow a spine and to stand up for what Jesus did. Either he was sufficient or he's not. And this is not, you know. So I just wanted to get that out. I wanted to acknowledge these brothers because they're just incredible men of God that I so respect. And you should get to know them. But what we do at every Black Life Matters is we're the righteous and faithful alternative of Black Lives Matter. Now, what that means for us is that we stand at the tip of the spear in culture. We will go anywhere at any time to debate anybody about anything as it relates to the Bible or as it relates to culture and righteousness and faithfulness. We are the folks that are unafraid. So you can call us to come to your church. We'll be the fall guy. And we'll help you with training, racial unity, whatever you want to do. But we've written a lot of books, myself and Neil Mauman, who I know the Sorbos are great supporters. And so we've written a lot of books about culture and politics and these types of things. I got a book over there, DEI in 3D, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion in 3D. I only have a few copies. So if you want that before we go over to the, you know, you pastors should get that if you want to learn about DEI. And also I've written a heavy theological book that I think everybody in here needs. And it's called Freed to Be, Servant and Slave. And it really deals with where we are as a church. And how we as pastors, men and women of God, how we are to represent the faith that supposedly we supposed to stand for. So to give you the, you know, a lot of the ins and outs and what's happening and how does this all, you know, embody, how to embody the fullness of God. So these are a couple of books that I brought here, but basically we are, you know, when you have in your mind's eye what the NAACP was all about, and how it's supposed to help advancement of Blacks. When you have in your mind, some of you may have thought that BLM was a righteous, and you thought, well, it's supposed to help advance Blacks. We are that. Every Black life matters. We are that because they are completely antagonizing to Blacks, infantilizing Blacks by going all in with this DEI nonsense. And so we're the guys that really stand up for Black life. From the womb to the tomb in every phase of Black life, because every Black life, because all lives matter, every Black life has to matter as well. So that's fundamentally who we are. So thank you.
Awesome. Mark.
Before 2020, I never said anything publicly that took an opinion or a stance on any controversial topic. I felt my role as a psychiatrist was to remain neutral so that it did not disturb the relationship I had with my patients. I could not stop thinking, and then ultimately I could not prevent myself from speaking out in 2020 when I saw that the world had gone completely insane. And I felt that it was my role to explain how that insanity came to be, which is why I wrote my first book, United States of Fear, How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis. And it started out from a medical point of view, but it continued to expand and expand and expand as I began invited to speak at different local events, then national events, churches, synagogues, up and down the coast in California and beyond. And what I discovered as I spoke out was that despite what people told me, which was that it was going to drive everyone from me, I did lose some people in my circles, colleagues, friends, supporters that I felt were on my side originally. I did lose, that is true. But it created a space for me in my life, personal and professional, into which 3, 4, 5 times as many people filled. and they were much higher quality. The point I want to impress upon everyone here is that while it is true that adopting what's considered a controversial position, which today just means common sense, will anger people and will upset people, will create conflict, and you will be attacked. And in the beginning, it will be very uncomfortable for a few days or a few weeks. What I can promise you, and I'm certain that everyone that's sitting here on the stage would agree with me because they've all been through this as well, that in the intermediate, not to mention, of course, the long run, you will benefit tremendously. It will benefit you because you will become a better person for your courage. It will also benefit the people that you work with and the people in your community. I now have over 5,000 subscribers to my Substack, Dissident MD. I've sold many thousands of copies of my two books. And I have a podcast with a colleague, Dr. Jeff Barkey, who's a family practice physician down in Orange County, called Informed Dissent, the Intersection of Healthcare and Politics. And we receive 4,000 to 5,000 views of our podcast every single episode. So I know the audience is there. Even though you may not hear from these people, they are everywhere and they are waiting. They are hungry for a church to attend, for a book to read, for a podcast to listen to, for somebody to encourage them to stand up. Because if you don't make yourself a lightning rod, if you don't stand up, they won't see you. Nobody can see you unless you stand out. Yes, you will get attacked. People will throw tomatoes at you, but the other people that are looking for someone will come towards you. And that's what I learned. And I'm only regretful of one thing, that I stayed silent as long as I did.
My beautiful wife, Maggie, is on my team. She's not here, unfortunately. She had some major interviews this weekend. She's an MD. I'm sorry, she's a JD. She's an attorney. And she also has a divinity degree. And she walked into this very slowly with me and was very opposed to the difficult situation that I was putting us in with death threats and so on and so forth. She's full force on my team now. And we publish extensively on many platforms, but one particular that I want you to draw your attention to is America Out Loud News. And we have about 15. These are not detailed medical, legal, technical stuff. These are very important exposures of how this government and you, pastors, have been captured, in addition, by the government, $5 trillion. And we'll talk about that more. But you go and look at some of our publications there. But my assignment from God is very clear. It's very purposed. And I will... This is my final assignment. I didn't want to be here. I would have rather checked out a life much earlier with the tribulation that I've been through. But God made it very clear. You know, my mother was a labor and delivery nurse in Ann Arbor, Michigan. My father, she delivered me at home. And God purposed me to bless me to have the best training in the world and purposed me to stand for the preborn and the pregnant mother. And now, at this time, I've been honored by the three organizations that essentially dominate the world in terms of medical recommendations. They've honored me my whole career. These are criminal organizations now that I'm aggressively attacking, and I will take them down. I will take them down. The American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the Society of Maternal Fetal Medicine. My newest book is called just that. It's really about child sacrifice. The name of the book is written with a brilliant co-author. I wrote it. It's not ghostwritten. Sacrifice, the deadliest vaccine ever pushed on the most vulnerable. It'll be out soon. Watch for it. I published a book 2 years ago, which is called The COVID-19 Vaccines and Beyond, What the Medical Industrial Complex is Not Telling You. And that's available on Amazon. And Sally Saxon, an attorney, and Deb Biglione, all of us three are from the Pensacola area, freedom fighters. I was asked to do a weekly hour show, and I'd like you to watch this because it's about medical freedom. It's about regaining the freedom of education. It's called Two Docs. Myself, an OBGYN, and Dr. Renata Moon, we're both aggressive freedom fighters. We've met in Senate and multiple other political venues. And we go an hour weekly show on Brandon Howe's YouTube View Network. And also on he bought General Flynn's network, Patriot TV. It runs Saturday and Sunday. And it's a weekly show. And every single panel member up here, I would like to have on that show for an interview. And it's everything that we're talking about. Kevin and Sam already agreed to be on it, but all the rest of you, I would be honored to have all of you on, Dr. Rennie Moon and I. And also that's what we're doing. That's what it's about. We're regaining. Listen, the healthcare industry was captured 115 years ago by the Flexner capitalists. For 6,000 years, medicine was not a capitalistic endeavor, and it wasn't an MD. These are healers. You don't go to anybody. The gift of healing comes from Jesus Christ. It was destroyed 115 years ago. Now I'm employed, after I was fired for speaking the truth, I'm employed by the wellness company, a parallel healthcare system. And I have colleagues like Dr. Drew, Dr. Kelly Victory, Dr. Peter McCullough, myself. We're creating a parallel healthcare system. And our intent, and these are my words, are to de-Flexnerize American healthcare. Thank you.
Awesome. I want to give just a few closing remarks here before we get ready to just shift to the next portion of our event here this morning. But a couple things here. So, you know, my name is Lucas Miles. I'm so honored to be up here with each of the panelists. As I want to brag just for a second here, if I can, on a couple things that we're working on within our ministry. So my organization is called the Influence Network. There's no I in the front. It starts with a capital N if you're looking for it online. And we have the honor of hosting now Sex Change Regret underneath our platform. We also have another platform, really a national initiative that I think is going to be interesting for you as pastors here today, called the American Pastor Project. And you can go to AmericanPastorProject.org. And I know we have a lot of pastors from this area that have been signers in the past on this. There's a simple statement there where you as a pastor can sign a statement agreeing that you're going to uphold biblical orthodoxy, basically historic Christianity, and that you are going to stand against wokeism and all the derivatives of it in your pulpit. And then what we do is when you sign that statement, we put your church out there. It's a free service. There's no charge for it, so that other people can, when they're looking for a church, they can go and they can find a church near them that has that. So if you want to get some more traction, we have already about 550 pastors that have signed this. We've been honored to partner with a lot of these organizations. Charlie and Rob at Turning Point Faith have been incredible in working with us as well. And so that's a resource for you guys. But here's what I want to ask you to do specifically. I want to ask you to make a commitment if you're a pastor. Let's see the hands of pastors again. Who's still brave enough to raise that hand that they're a pastor? Pastors, I want to ask you to do something here. And we didn't talk about this, but I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you between now and November that you would do one of two things. Either you would take a minute at the start of each of your sermons and address whatever's going on in the world that week. Maybe it's a National Day of Visibility on Easter that you need to talk about and give a biblical perspective to these things. Maybe there's something else that's going on and there's some fear in your congregation and you need to speak to that, what scripture has to say about that issue. But don't run from these topics. But specifically what I'd like to see you do, I'd like to see you commit about 3 to 5 Sundays between now and November to grab a couple of these topics that we have talked about. Maybe it's child trafficking. Maybe it's the issue of sanctity of life. Maybe it's the issue of wokeism. Maybe it's the issue of DEI, you know, Marxist theory, whatever that is, to grab some of those topics and to educate people on how to think biblically about these ideas to empower them. Yes, that might mean that you need to do some more homework yourself, but I think it's going to be worth it. And maybe Maybe it's as simple as bringing in one of these names up here to be able to share in your pulpit. But I want to encourage you to commit yourself to go, hey, as a church body, can we give 3 to 5 Sundays between now and November to make a difference in this nation leading up to this very, very pivotal election that we have right now? And so I hope that you will make that commitment and that you will stand with this group and with all of us here and really seeing the church, because everything is downstream of theology, culture, morality. It all starts with, what do you think about God? You know, who is God and who am I in God? When you solve that question, when you give them a biblical answer on that, they will have biblical answers on everything else downstream of that. So let's hear from our panelists here. Let's give these guys a hand.
I hope the Holy Spirit has profoundly impacted you as our expert panel has shared their deep concerns about what is happening to our children. The good news is that we can all get involved. One way is to share these videos and then talk with our families and friends, and especially our pastors, about what is happening and what we can do about it. If you're a parent, consider getting your children out of public school or getting involved with your local school boards. Depending on your primary area of concern, look for the groups in your area or on our website that are taking action to address these assaults against our children. If you would like to hold a Save Our Children conference in your area or need help forming an action committee in your community or church, please visit our website, truthfaithandaction.org, or contact us at info@truthfaithandaction.org. Most of all, don't believe Satan's lie that you can't make a difference. Now is the time to step out in faith. We also implore you to support us as we endeavor to share this message worldwide. Lastly, don't miss our upcoming video of Rabbi Jonathan Cahn as he shares an electrifying prophetic message about standing for Christ during times like these. May God bless you.
Hey folks, this is Dr. Kevin Cruz giving you another pump, because guess what? The Supernatural Junkies are on Rumble. All you have to do is go to Rumble, go to search, and when you search for channels, you look for Supernatural Junkies, and all of our stuff is going to start popping up. It's great because you're going to be able to see the links. You'll get to see exactly why we are saying what we're saying. But most importantly, this is a great way to share with your family and your friends exactly why we are living in prophetic times and why we cannot give up access to our bodies.
Hey folks, it's Dr. Dennis from Supernatural Junkies. I just want to talk to you today about Protandim. I've been taking Protandim for a few years, and you know what? I feel a difference. I am younger than my age. At least I think I am. Anyway, Protandim is a strong antioxidant producer in your body, because what it does, it causes your body to increase its glutathione production. And glutathione, folks, is the strongest antioxidant your body has. So if you want to keep strong antioxidants in your body and be a healthier you, I suggest you use Protandim.